The fix is in. The Sports Fix.
Sports Fix listeners, don't wait all day or all week to get in on the fun. The party doesn't stop when we go off the air all week long. The Sports Fix social media sites are your one-stop shop for all things Cleveland sports. Jump over to Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, and become a fan today because we love fans and they create some of the best sports talk in town, Daddy. You'll enjoy talking to your fellow Cleveland sports fans on the Sports Fix fan page. And if Twitter's your thing, well, you know how we do it. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. It's that simple.
Twitter.com/TheSportsFixCLE, baby.
Chat live with the crew during all your favorite Cleveland sports events, tickets and contests and trivia and so much more. Get with us today, The Sports Fix on social media, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at The Sports Fix, CLE. Join The Sports Fix on Facebook and Twitter today.
Sports Fix listeners, do you tweet? So do we. So tweet with us 24/7 at The Sports Fix, CLE.
This is Greg Pruitt, formerly of the Cleveland Browns, and you're listening to The Sports Fix.
Live in Ohio, it's time to get your fix. The Sports Fix.
Welcome in, everybody. We've got, man, well, there's all kinds of titles you can put on today's show. It's the last episode of the week. It's the last episode of the month. The entire month of August. Gone. Bam. Gone. Just like that. When we come back, we're already going to be into September, man. So we've got a short edition. And I'll tell you what, all joking aside, today I'm not joking when I say that. I have got to hit the bricks literally immediately upon the end of this broadcast and get things together and head out and lock and load for this first play-by-play broadcast, high school football, that I'm doing tonight. So no joking today. We are going to hit it and hit it quick. I'm looking at 90 minutes and out the door, baby. So let's see if I can hold up to that. I really cannot mess around and monkey around with the time schedule at all today. We've got a lot to fit into the time that we do have, though, so let's just make the most of it. Welcome in each and every one of you to the Sports Fix. We're rolling. We are off and running with today's edition of the show. I am your host, for those of you new here, the Big Daddy on the microphone, J-Rock Jerry Myers, with you guys Monday through Friday. Not this coming Monday, holiday weekend, not back until Tuesday, but traditionally Monday through Friday, live at noon, right here across the Sports Fix Radio Network. I conduct a little madness here each and every day. Sometimes you're listening on TuneIn and TuneIn's radio app worldwide. Some of you listening right at the home base on the sportsfix.net. Many of you listen to us daily on Spreaker Live and on replay and on Mixler as well. Some of you even hang out with my boys over there in the Mixler chat room, keeping it real over there. And many of you, thousands and thousands around the world, listen 24/7 on Digital Delay on iHeartRadio, the world's largest internet radio provider. Many of you listen on SoundCloud and on Spreaker and CarPlay and Stitcher and all of their on-demand formats as well. Thank you guys so much for that, wherever you are around the world. And many of you subscribe and download the show many other places that I didn't mention. So thank you guys all. As usual, another day, another month, baby. We put it in the books. Well, this one's just getting started. Let's look at the slate here. We've got, of course, talking some Tribe, talking some Browns. Browns, I'll get to them in a minute here. We're talking some Tribe. I'm going to throw it out there right off the top. Team O Destiny. And I've trademarked it. I'm lying. I didn't trademark it, but just take my word for it and don't try to cut me out of any royalties if you put it on a t-shirt. But Team O Destiny continues to roll on, rolling in to Kansas City. I'm going to talk some Tribe here in just a moment. Browns, we're going to talk Browns in the first segment of the show here when we come back from the first break. Jeff Gorman from Browns101.com will be here. Preseason, it's in the books. Finally, done playing games that don't matter. We can talk about what you saw that you liked, what you didn't like, who sealed their spot on the team, who may have kicked themselves mouth to the curb. We'll talk Browns here with Jeff Gorman. Jonathan Knight, the sports writer extraordinaire. Him and Jeff Gorman kind of flip-flopped the script a little bit on us. Jonathan Knight coming up just about 30, 35 minutes from now. We're going to talk to him about the latest this week. He's got some thoughts on the Browns and Josh Gordon and the Indians, and I'm going to throw Team of Destiny at him, and I'm going to see if he laughs back in my face like Mike Brandenberry does. Of course he will. Of course they will. That's why I stand alone. Because doggone it, this is a Team of Destiny. Anyways, talking Buckeyes as they prepare for a season without Braxton Miller. Getting ready to kick it off tomorrow. We'll talk about that. We'll preview the Indians in Kansas City. All that, so much more. So let's rock and roll and do it and start right with that Team of Destiny. And I'm going to start with you. I'm still going to open up the phone lines just because we got to hit it and keep it moving does not mean that I'm not talking to you because I've got the microphone. You are still the voice. You've just got to make that voice a little quicker today. 216-539-7535. 216-539-7535. The number to call. If you can't get to the phones, then hit us up on all of our platforms on social media. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. Email us. TheSportsFix@AOL.com. I want you guys chiming in. I'm sitting here. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty lonely. Pretty lonely in the Team of Destiny category. The majority of the people hitting me up think I'm insane. I don't care. They thought Einstein was insane, too. Geniuses are confused for crazy people for a long time until people realized they were geniuses. I have realized that that is just going to be my lot in life, and I'm willing to take one for the team, guys. I will bear that cross for you, baby. To make this Team of Destiny happen. But anyway, so hit me up, Facebook and Twitter, and email me and let me know, thesportsfix@AOL.com, what you guys think about the show, about the Indians, the Team of Destiny. Am I crazy? You tell me, my man. I'll tell you what. And real quick, I mentioned it at the beginning of the show. For those of you wondering what I was talking about, if you haven't gotten the details tonight, if you want, check me out. I'll give you all the details at the end of the show. I'm incredibly fired up. And I'll tell you what, I could have moved the house this morning, man. I hit the workout first. I mean, early, throwing weights around. I mean, pumping, sweating. It's been a busy morning. I'm ready to rock and roll, baby. But play-by-play tonight, the Kirtland Hornets defending Division 6 state champions taking on Eastlake North and the Rangers. I cannot wait to call that one tonight. WINT. 13:30 a.m. is the place you can hear it locally here in Cleveland. Nationally, for many of you, just like you listen to the Sports Fix, you could go to tuneinradio.com and find 13:30. You can listen directly on their website like you do our show here. I just about said thesportsfix.net. WINTradio.com. Or they also stream, I believe they feed their show on Ustream as well, which is a video service, but they feed the stream of what's going on their station there. A lot of radio stations have gotten into that as well. It's another place that you can check it out. But I'll give you all of that at the end of the show fired up. I cannot wait to get into that. And I'll make sure I hit you guys up as well on the fantasy football because this weekend is going to be your last chance to get yourself entered for that final slot because when we come back on Tuesday, we're drafting Tuesday night. So now that all of the formalities are out of the way, let's get back to Team of Destiny. And that would be the Cleveland Indians as they continue here. I'm telling you guys, I have fun with that. And of course, look, you guys, I'm with you. I see. I watch the same stuff. I'm having some fun with this because this is what you do when you get down to the stretch run. You got some games to play that mean something, man. You don't move on. You don't kick that investment to the curb. You dig in the trenches, and the Team of Destiny is doing just that. Now, I'll tell you, they have their destiny in their own hand. All joking aside with that word, we've mentioned that several times here. And it's here. It's on you. You're heading to Kansas City. And that's a little bit, I noticed, I can't remember. I hate when I talk about an article and I don't remember who wrote it. But I remember seeing it wasn't even the article. It was the headline about how this year the Indians' late season games that are meaningful, that everybody gets excited about, are against other contenders, not just an entire slate of tomato cans, which I dig, man, because again, if you can't beat the other teams that are right there with you, then you don't deserve to go anyway. And if you do, I don't care if you played 500 until the beginning of September. If you start going to town against the other teams that are right there with you, then you deserve to go. And I'm not looking at playoff matches. You know, Mike Brandenberry, he had a great article this week. And you know Mike, man, he gives you the good and the bad, man. And But he, you know, in one sentence, he's like, hey, man, this is, you know, it is what it is. And even if they chase it down, he reminds you of what you're looking at the end of the season. When let's say you get into the playoffs and you start looking, oh, man, look at this team's rotation. Look at that. You don't do that, though. For now, you got to get there. You can't even look past these games you've got to chop down. Speaking of, Mike, actually, he sent me a text right before we went on the air here for you guys, knowing that we were going to start off talking about this. Tribe's got 30 games remaining on their schedule. If they go 20-10, which is 2 out of 3, which is the key number that we've pretty much nailed down, they have to win 2 out of 3 all the way across. So if they go 20-10 through those games, and hey, in the 10-day stretch since we said they have to win 2 out of every 3, they've won exactly 2 out of every 3 coming along there. But if that happens, Seattle and Detroit simply have to play .500 ball for the Indians to force a tie, and then obviously anything less than that, they could play their way ahead of them. But they have they need to go 15-15, no better. If either one of those teams plays better, and that's of course assuming the Indians record at 20-10, then the Indians could run it down and get the wild card, run the wild card down. So looking at the way those teams have played, I mean, .500, it's not like you're sitting here going, well, they can only win 3 games the rest of the season. I mean, it's a realistic goal, but you have to win the ones in front of you. And it becomes more realistic when you state the obvious, which is that you've got games in hand against the teams coming up here that you need to beat. And that starts with Kansas City, as you've now, what the deficit is now down. I believe it's 5.5 now with the victory last night, back down to 4.5 in the wild card. But that's Kansas City. That's the team that you're chasing at the top. It sounds a little bit different when you're used to saying you're chasing Detroit at the top. You got to get yourself a little bit used to the difference there in saying Kansas City ahead of Detroit. But that is what you're doing. And you've got those games right there with Kansas City sitting in front of you for the Indians to take this weekend. And it's not easy, that's for sure. But you know what? I'm going ahead of myself even. I'm not even trying to get there. And I was wrong. I'm sorry. They were 4.5. They're now 4 back of the wild card. They've got themselves back to 4 back of the wild card. Kansas City lost last night in extras. So the Tribe, as I said, 5.5 back, and 3 big ones here coming up this weekend. You know, the trick is, unfortunately, as we've mentioned, there's such a big difference in winning 2 out of 3, winning 3 out of 3, losing. Oh, hey, get off me in the chat room. I was off by a half a game, man. But no, I love you guys, man. But that's part of the difference, too. But you can't even look at it that way. You got to start with one and take the first one. But I'm looking ahead. Let's talk about last night. Indians, a series they should have swept. And I think they'd be the first ones to tell you that they missed an opportunity to sweep that series there. Carlos Carrasco did it again. I mean, since he was put back in the rotation, he's just been nailing it each and every time. 4 straight great appearances for him since going back in the rotation. I don't know if we should buy this or not. I mean, obviously, I'm taking it with a grin on my face right now. Is this real? Like, for future reference, not just for now, is this the real deal? Is this finally the Carlos Carrasco that 5 years ago I saw Al Chimichella from the Diatribe? He tweeted last night something, said, you know, it may have taken 5 years to get here, but, you know, if this is truly what Carrasco's turned into, does that change the way you look at the deal, the Cliff Lee trade and what they got out of that? And I'll tell you, I don't know about that because that's projected next year for this guy. But what do you think? Like, is this a mirage or in the middle of the summer here, or is this legit? Because all of a sudden, he is the pitcher that all along the Indians and every other team and us thought that he could be. And look at him again. Last night, 1 run, 6 2/3 innings. In his 4 starts in August since returning to the rotation, he has given up 2 earned runs in 24 2/3 innings pitch. That's a 0.73 ERA, and he's got 24 strikeouts. He's averaging a strikeout an inning. This Carlos Carrasco right here, that's a difference maker in your rotation and in how you plan things for next year. But that puts the Indians, I'm trying not to do this future talk, but man, that puts you in a strange situation, and we can discuss this more in the next few weeks in the offseason, because the Indians have to ask themselves and be asking themselves right now the same question that I just said, is this real? because do you go into next season banking and going, man, we've got Carlos Carrasco doing what he's been doing, but or does the clock strike midnight? Does Cinderella does it turn back into a pumpkin? You know, is the ball over at midnight? I don't know. I'm glad I don't get paid to answer that question, but man, he's been so solid and so lights out that maybe it has, because the talent's always been there. And now we're starting to see, maybe he got out of his own way. Maybe he realized he was down to his last chance. Maybe he's past his last chance. He actually got a bonus chance here, because his last chance was his last chance. And then they said, you know what? Man, we got no, let's put Carrasco back in there. He's been doing good in the bullpen all season. I mean, what the hell? Let's put him out there. It can't get any worse. And matter of fact, I think that might have been what we said, at least Mike, when we got the announcement that Carrasco was going back in the rotation, was, well, can it be any worse than what they've been dealing with? And it's the exact opposite. So I don't know. We'll talk about future stuff later, but you tell me, what do you think? Are you buying this? Is this the new Carlos Carrasco? Is this the Carlos Carrasco? I don't know. Is there an old Carlos Carrasco that will creep his head back next season? I don't know, but I'm digging what we're seeing out of him right now. Speaking of what we're seeing last night, more of different people contributing. Michael Bourne starting to, you know, hey, having him back is, I know he's been inconsistent and injury prone basically since he came back, but I still, having that professional player, having that professional bat in the lineup does make a difference. And last night he had 3 hits, 2 triples. Last Indian, I saw this earlier, last Indian to have 2 triples in a game was Kenny Lofton back in 95. So if y'all looking for reasons to jump on my Timo Destiny bandwagon, there's another one for you right there. I just used the numbers 95. You use the numbers 95 and Indians in the same sentence, you got a Team of Destiny thing going here. But no, seriously, that's a good feat. I wanted to bring that up. He actually leads the American League with 9 triples there. Ramirez, Brantley, Kipnis had RBIs for the Indians as well last night. And the Indians, by the way, not only have they won 11 of 16, 6 of its last 8 on the road, they've won 5 of their last 6 series, and they split the 6th, which was that 2-game series with Arizona. So they have not lost a series in 6 consecutive series now, and that has to continue for the rest of the season. But here's another one. Indians now 1 win in franchise history, shy of 9,000. So the next win that the Indians get, whether it's tonight or through this weekend, will be the 9,000th win in Cleveland Indians history. That's a pretty significant milestone. And now it's Kansas City, and I'm going to get to that later. We'll preview the series later. You got Salazar and Vargas, Trevor Bauer and Big Game James going at it tomorrow. That'll be a good one. House and Duffy, a couple of lefties taking the mound on Sunday. Before you know it, Detroit comes to this Rock City, baby, and it's the Labor Day game in the big series. But It's all here. It's in front of you. It's what you've asked for all season long. I mean, not you as a listener or a fan. If you're an Indian player, it's what you want. The chance to take care of it yourself. You don't have to worry about, I need 6 other teams to win, I need this team to lose. Just go out here, beat the teams in front of you, and you'll be dancing in September, baby, and heading into October. And besides, there's the whole Destiny thing. We'll talk more about that. We'll preview the series, guys, when we come back. Let's get to the break. I told you, we got to keep it moving. When we come back, my man Jeff Gorman's going to join us from Browns101.com. We'll talk about the other team that played from a Chicago franchise last night as the Browns and the Bears met. Bears, I guess you could say played. Bears trotted out a bunch of guys bagging groceries last night, as I like to say. But we'll talk about it. Who helped themselves, who didn't. And now, hey, the fake games are over. Not that they're fake. Tell Sam Bradford that they're fake. But the games that don't count in any way except injury and roster spot for the guys at the bottom are over. So now focus turns to Pittsburgh. Let's take a break. When we come back, Jeff Gorman from Browns101.com is with us. Just about 20 minutes from now, Jonathan Knight, sports writer extraordinaire, is in the house. Don't go anywhere. We have just begun this Friday edition of the Sports Fix. Woo!
When it comes to Cleveland sports, we go from...
You can't touch this.
To...
I can't watch this.
So listen to The Fix. It's easier on the eyes.
Hey guys, before we go to the break, I want to talk to you a little bit again about our good friends at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. The UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championships, some of the hottest fights in the world today. Each and every one of their huge events, Harry Buffalo is one of the few places in Northeast Ohio. You can go there and watch each and every UFC fight at the Harry Buffalo. And let me tell you, I've been there. The people are out the door. They are to the rafters. It is one of the craziest environments for some UFC fights. Wing Mondays, they've got great deals on wings and drinks. And every day of the week, there's a different special, a different deal. And don't forget the Bison Burger, the unbelievable. It is the combination of a fantastic burger and eating healthy combined into one unbelievable sandwich. You have got to get a Bison Burger while you're there. So whatever you're looking for, whatever day of the week, Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sundays, there's something for you at the Harry Buffalo North Olmsted, just outside Great Northern Mall. Check them out today. Harry Buffalo, join the herd.
Hey everybody, this is Jerry the King Lawler from WWE, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Whether it's an oil change or a new set of tires, Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck has you covered for your automotive car care needs. They're your neighborhood quick service experts. They also offer a low price tire guarantee. Choose from 13 brands, and if you find the same tires at a lower price within 30 days, Quick Lane at Valley Ford will refund the difference. They're open late Monday through Thursday until 9 p.m. and open early Saturday so you can check it off your to-do list and get on with your day. They also have a newly remodeled service lounge and additional service bay just for Quick Lane oil changes. Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck is located at 5715 Canal Road, right under the 480 Bridge in Valley View, just down the road from Independence. 5715 Canal Road, right under the 480 Bridge in Valley View, just down the road from Independence. Come see why life is better in the Quick Lane. quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck. That's quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
The Sports Fix is on iHeartRadio. Download the free iHeart app today. Subscribe to the show and get your fix.
You love Cleveland, and you already know how much we love Cleveland. You know who else loves Cleveland? GV Art and Design. Everyday fans, you and I wear our pride on our sleeves. Now, you can wear your pride on your chest. GV Art and Design has one of the hottest Cleveland sporting lines. Log on right now to gvartwork.com. Check out all of their fantastic designs.
And don't forget, use the sales code 610, 610, to save 10% on your total purchase.
Follow gvartwork.com on Facebook, and remember, GV Art and Design, it's not just a shirt, it's a statement.
You're listening to The Sports Fix.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix live across the Sports Fix Radio Network. J-Rock, Jerry Myers back with you, kicking it back on the air, getting ready to go to the phone lines. My man Jeff Gorman from Browns101.com going to join me here. We'll talk about the finality of the preseason, thank goodness, and also the, I guess, competent showing. You got to keep it real. Of the offense, thank God again for that, and of the team in general, at least showing that everybody could show up to the building on the same page and run the same play and all of that. Again, thank goodness for all of that. Let's talk about it and set the stage for who do you think this weekend set themselves up to make this team. I got a couple of names in mind, too. Let's talk about that. My man Jeff Gorman from Browns101.com going to join us, which means you can't call. You can hit us up Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. Email us, TheSportsFix@AOL.com. And as I say, you know, the Browns won, got off the schneid. Always good not to go 0-4 throughout the preseason, but I'm not really even going to get too deep into that. I don't pay any, and wins either, I don't pay any attention to the final scores of preseason games because too many variables that aren't real have anything to do with the actual final score. So not going to sit here and go, hey, Jeff, great to talk about a win. Although, hey, Jeff, better to talk about a win than a loss, even if it's a scrimmage. Jeff Gorman from Browns101.com. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, J-Rock. Actually, the first words out of my mouth were going to be, it's great to talk about a Browns win, even though it didn't count.
So I'm just saying, it is. A win is better than a loss. You are right. I'd rather talk about a practice win than a practice loss, but it doesn't matter. All of these games are out of the books. They're out of the way. They're done. We're now... Everybody's focus in the entire NFL is week one. The Browns, that means Pittsburgh. Looking at last night's game, yeah, they won the game, but let's look at the few things that everybody was looking for. I'll start right away. And even this is negligible in some extent because of the level, but you can't control who the other team puts out there. That's the one difficulty when you say, okay, the Browns need to play their starters. I was the one that was a big... Browns need to play all their starters for at least the first quarter. But unfortunately, you can't make the Bears do the same thing. They chose to go with backups completely across the board. And regardless, you needed to look good. Matter of fact, somebody was texting me right before the game, said, what do you think about the score? I said, come on, man. You know that I don't predict scores for preseason games. I said, but I will tell you this, and this was right before kickoff. I said, if they look good, it's okay. If they don't look good, that's the problem, because they're going to be playing against the backups. And if they don't look good against them, then you've got way more problems than you know with. So at least from that, they did. And so start there. What did you like? I mean, here's the thing, too, with the media, especially some of the Manziel honks that are out there. Man, I actually heard Jim Donovan sum up the game at the end in the recap like this. Well, Brian Hoyer, he had a great drive. It was a, typical Brian Hoyer. But Johnny Manziel, let me tell you. And I'm like, really? It was... Now, Brian Hoyer had a typical Brian Hoyer drive, but Johnny Football got everybody excited with his 8 of 17 or whatever his passing line was. And, but everybody got all excited because he ran away from next week's grocery baggers, man. Talk to me about what you thought, both good and bad, from the Browns, especially in the first half when there was at least a little bit of, I don't even want to say competition. You know what I'm saying. Give me your thoughts.
Right. Well, I actually don't mind the fact that the Bears didn't play their starters, because the Browns needed to go out and do something good. And the fact that it was against a bunch of guys in Bears uniforms that might not be in there, next week, that's okay. They really needed, a confidence boost to drive down the field and score. And really, who cares? Just the problem is, if they didn't do that, then it would be really, really bad. It would be time to, hit the panic button, and this is really, so they did what they were supposed to do. And that's good. That gives the team and the fans some kind of hope that they can look reasonably competent, that the offense under Hoyer can move down the field when they play Pittsburgh. And the best thing is that they made it through most of this entire preseason without too many injuries. And I know they really babied a lot of guys who were kind of on the bubble just to make sure that, that they're okay for week one. I think they did a really good job of managing, the roster to make sure that everyone's going to be in good shape for week one. And that's really the most important thing, because that's what, that's what the preseason is for, because these guys know how to play football. It's just a matter of getting them on the same page, getting them through all their practices without an injury, so you have the best chance to beat the Steelers in week one because you're at full strength. And so I think that's really the best thing. Looking competent and not getting hurt are the two best things.
And I will say this, and this part takes the other team out of the equation. There were so many continuity problems with this offense in the first couple of preseason games here that taking the level, this doesn't matter. Like getting to the line, running the right plays, those things were all problems too. And I do think, and I agree with Coach Pettine about this, there was a difference after 10 weeks, a week and a half, however long it's been there, that they've gotten the quarterback question out of the way as far as breaking down practice. And they got the starters practicing every day with the starters. I mean, it doesn't matter. If it was Manziel, you would hope for the same thing. It doesn't matter if it was Rex Grossman. Point is the unit was put together and has had a week and a half now of practicing together. Now, that I do agree with Mike Pettine was probably the best thing you could take out of it, was that you saw that there was more chemistry. I don't care about the length of the plays. I'm not looking at yardage per se. There was more chemistry. You're seeing some chemistry develop with Hawkins and Hoyer. I believe Hoyer is 6 of 6 in his receptions to Hawkins, which shows that they've got a good hookup. And once again, we know Hoyer's favorite target last year was Jordan Cameron, and Jordan Cameron suffered the most when Hoyer was taken out because he was just looking to really explode there. I think he had, what do you have, like 16 catches in two games or something like that.
Yeah.
With Hoyer, it was significantly different. I mean, and we saw that here. Saw a little bit of the chemistry be better. And that, forget the stats, forget winning and losing and all of that. That's what you can take out of last night's game. And I do believe it's because they picked a guy. And I think if it would have been the other way, hopefully you would have seen it there too. But regardless, I think that's what you got the most out of. And we were talking before the third preseason game, that was the biggest key, was getting somebody picked and in there so the guys can just start playing together every single day.
Right, and I hope that we see that with the other receivers, most notably Nate Burleson and Miles Austin.
Nate Burleson showed up, man.
Yes, it was nice to see him out there. I'd love to see more of him and Austin this preseason, but of course we want them to be healthy as well. I'm just hoping that when the curtain goes up against the Steelers, that Austin and Burleson are out there, you know, making plays and just taking some of the, providing different options and just taking the pressure off of Cameron and Hawkins, because without Josh Gordon, you know, everything crunches down on who's the next top receiver to stop. And boy, I don't want to be in a situation where you've got Cameron getting, you know, double teamed, and then it's really a bad situation, because if they shut him down, then your options get to be very limited. So I think really the most important thing in this entire offense this whole year is going to be the wide receivers. And is this group of wide receivers sufficient? And that really comes really all the way back down to the decision by Wade Farmer of them not to draft any wide receivers and to just go with who they have and who they're able to pick up off the free agent wire. And that's going to be a real rubber meets the road decision, because, you know, we're not too worried about the running backs or the offensive line. It's, you know, and knowing that Gordon was going to be suspended, which he did, can these other guys do the job? And that's going to be a big test as to the Browns' success this season.
I agree with you, Jeff, and that is important. And seeing Burleson make a couple of plays and step up and just be out there was big. I said it before the game, if he didn't play last night, he did not have a spot on this roster. I think the Browns and him had a hey, come to reality meeting, and he said, let me play. I don't care about my hamstring. And they needed to see it just to go, hey, not that we don't take your word for it, but we got to see it. You know, we got to make sure that you can play. We're cool with you not practicing during the week if you can show up on Sunday, but you haven't shown up yet on game day. We just got to make sure that you've still got it in you. And so I thought that was important. That may have made sure, and still, who knows, but I think with the lack of depth, that pretty much sealed him a spot on this team. Saw Taylor Gabriel get some reps and some catches last night with the actual receivers. We've seen what he's done with the returns. I like him. I think, I went so far last night as to tell somebody, I think he is the biggest beneficiary next to him and Hawkins of Josh Gordon not being there. I think that Taylor Gabriel is going to step up and fill a gap. I don't know how big. I don't know what he's going to, you know, we'll have to see what the kid does at the next level against faster guys and starters and all of that. But, you know, good to see him get in there, him and Hoyer connected a little bit. So I don't know, but I'm with you. It was good to see Burleson. Austin has been able to stay healthy for the entire preseason, which is important. I didn't know if he could even do that. When we signed him, I said, man, I don't know if this guy's going to make the team. Because of the hamstrings, and you know, I didn't know if he was even going to make the team. He's at least done that. So you're right. It's going to be rubber meets road for Wade Farmer, and it'll take the first half of the season. We'll see what happens. If Nate Burleson plays one game and goes out and misses the next eight, then that was a bad decision. If Miles Austin pops a hamstring every other game and he only plays six games all season, that was a bad decision. We'll have to see. But I'm definitely expecting Andrew Hawkins to, I'm telling you, man, when we signed him, I remember arguing with some people in the chat room over here about how he was a good signing, and somebody insisted that he was going to do nothing. And now all of a sudden, I think some people's opinions are being changed. Hawkins was not signed to be a complimentary piece here. Hawkins is going to put some work in. I'm not saying he's going to be an over-the-top guy, but I'm saying Hawkins is going to be high usage in this offense, and I like him. When he gets the ball in space, man, he can go.
Oh, yeah, and just the way that the Browns aggressively went after him, signing him as a restricted free agent and ripping him away from the Bengals, that was a big move, and that showed that they gave a lot of value to him. Now, it's going to be interesting to see, you mentioned Gabriel, you know, I think Gabriel's pretty much made this team, considering he was out there with the starters,
yeah.
And he wasn't out there when the other guys were out there trying to make the team, and one of the guys that you like, Willie Snead, he looks really good, and I think he did everything that he could to earn a spot on the team. It's just a matter for Snead, is there going to be one spot left available for him? He's kind of on the bubble, but he did the best that he could yesterday. If something happens to Austin or Burleson, I think he'll be right in there.
I think Snead's a practice squad guy. I think Taylor Gabriel squeezed him, perhaps, out of that spot. I don't know. Charles Johnson,
yeah.
Those guys are all bubble guys there. We'll have to see. And you never know, because other factors this weekend could play into that, depending on who gets cut for other teams could also, or trades as well. You know, Jim Donovan had a good point on the broadcast last night, and I hate to say it, but Solomon, it was the one good point he made. I'm telling you, Solomon Wilcox is the worst. I don't care who gets mad at me for saying that. Solomon Wilcox is terrible. Terrible. He's just terrible. But anyways, they had a good point. The depth up front defensively for the Browns, that may be some trade bait to try to get you a decent wide receiver. You've got some guys up there, no matter who you're talking about. Even if you want to look at a guy like Phil Taylor, who has some contract issues coming up and stuff like that, there's some trade bait. Because if you move, I love Phil Taylor, but if you move him out, you got Kitchen, you got Hughes, you got Billy Wynn, you got Armani Bryant. These cats are looking to play too. The Browns have a good double wave up front of the defensive line. So there's some depth there. Maybe they go out there and get somebody, but we'll see. Looking at the other positions real quickly as well, because we got to keep it moving. I got JK coming
yeah.
in a few minutes. Some other people that won or lost jobs. I'm going to throw some names out there right now. I thought Deion Lewis had sealed up the number three running back job, but depending on how many running backs they're going to carry, Crowell needs to be one of them. We've liked him since they signed him. You and I talked about him when they got him undrafted and they signed him. Finally, last night, a lot of people were joking, man, how you gonna stash him on your practice squad if you're going to show him out there in the fourth preseason game, you know? But he went out there and showed a little bit of what he's got. I think there's a spot on this team for him. And the quarterback position. Let's just say Rex Grossman came out there and played a little bit. Shaw played
yeah.
a little bit. What do you think the Browns do? Do they keep three? And then if they do, is it Grossman or is it Shaw? I just don't see a room for a third quarterback on this roster. What do you think?
Well, it's tricky because, you know, there's a reason why you could keep Grossman just as a fail-safe in case something really goes wrong. And there's, you know, Shaw looked very, very good, and he showed a lot more running ability than a lot of people
hey,
knew. He was
Grossman
out there running
good,
as well.
Though.
So I think
credit.
That.
Give Grossman hmm? Credit. He's playing against third and fourth stringers, but give Grossman credit. He still got some arm, and he does
yeah.
understand this offense. He had command of the playbook. So, you know, Vashawn may be right. If they keep three, they're keeping Grossman over Shaw. Shaw's a practice squad guy. I wasn't sure of that 2 weeks ago, but I do believe that now.
You're probably right. I guess if you're able to keep all of them and keep him on the practice squad, I guess you would have to do that. But I think Crowell, I think you definitely have to put him on the roster, especially even if as a second half guy, even some kind of a spark plug. I think obviously Tate and West will be sufficient. But you can put Crowell in there, you know, a little bit in the second half, and maybe he can make some kind of magic like he did last night. He had a big smile on his face, and I think he knew that he made the team with what he did. You can't keep him off the roster.
And now people that hadn't seen, when they hear guys like us go, hey, man, this guy's got a little something here, but they haven't seen it. And they go, well, you know, we hear that about 20 guys every training camp. They go, hey, look out
yeah.
for this guy from you know, Oklahoma State, you know, things like that, you know, and the little small colleges. But he's that one where people said, oh, that's that Crowell guy, man. Wait a minute. Now I see what people are talking about. I didn't like Deion Lewis all that much anyway, man. Well, see you later, buddy. But seriously, I think that I think he may have cost Deion Lewis his spot on that team. That and the fact that Deion Lewis fumbles, whether it's once a game. He fumbles like once a game, man. I mean, even last week that the with Manziel, the little shovel deal, if that had been in the middle of the field, that would have been a fumble too. So I think between those two, between the rise of Crowell and the fumbling of Lewis, that may have cost him there, even though this does seem to be a coaching staff that leans towards going with veterans. All right, last question. Did you like the way Justin Gilbert did or did not bounce back? Obviously, took the wrong technique and the wrong route on that play with Holmes and got beat around the end. Hopefully, that's a learning experience. Did he seem to learn to you from week one or from last week to this week?
I think he did a little bit. I think you're at the point where, kind of like Bartavius Mingo last year, you know, he's number one pick, but he's not going to be able to just jump right in there and just dominate. I think that he is going to have a bit of a learning curve. And, you know, I think a best case scenario would be for, you know, Hayden and Screen to be the starting cornerbacks and just have Gilbert sort of, you know, I don't think Gilbert is ready to be the starting outside right cornerback,
yeah.
You know, just right off. You can tell that there's still some things he needs to learn, but of course, you know, I think he's definitely going to get there. It might be, you know, next year, but I think that him, you know, being the nickel corner at this point would be much better for him right now, as opposed to being up against the other team's number two receiver.
All right, Jeff, cuts are this weekend. Rosters will be set, and then it all starts next week. You and I will sit down next Friday, and we will preview a real football game, my man. So go look up the Steelers. Get your Steelers scouting report ready and bring it to me next Friday.
I will bring it. I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun to get ready for some real football.
Bring it, my man. All right, you have a good one. Jeff Gorman from Browns101.com. He'll be back with us next Friday, previewing the Steelers as we start things off. I'm going to hit the break and come back with my man, the sports writer extraordinaire, Jonathan Knight, talking Indians and Browns and Buckeyes next here on the Sports Fix.
I haven't broken down enough. Wait until the next one. I said never try to question. I'm repping what I'm repping. If I haven't broken down.
The Sports Fix, your choice for intelligent talk.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Intelligent talk.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
These guys must be on the wrong station.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
The Sports Fix. It's an addiction. The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Have you gotten your copy of Cleveland's Finest yet? Highlighting the best moments, players, and media members in Cleveland sports history?
Oh my God! He won it! Melo hit a three-pointer on the sideline!
In-depth, personal interviews with some of the top names in Cleveland sports fill the pages of this incredible book. Cleveland's Finest by Vince McKee is this year's must-have book for every Cleveland sports fan. Available now at Amazon.com. Get your copy today. Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Harry Buffalo. Harry Buffalo, join the herd.
News break.
This is Doug Gottlieb with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by Quicken Loans. For mortgage experience that's engineered to amaze. Roger Goodell hears you loud and clear. I supported Roger Goodell because he was the only one handing down any sort of punishment to Ray Rice. But because of the groundswell of the overall avalanche of criticism of just two games for domestic violence, he's changed the policy. Hit a woman once, six games. Hit a woman twice, you're out of the league. Here's his quote. I take responsibility for both the decision and for ensuring that our actions in the future properly reflect our values. I didn't get it right. Simply put, we have to do better, and we will. Kudos to Roger Goodell for not only listening, but actually doing something about it, all while admitting he made a mistake, which so many of us men struggle to do. Like I got.
You're listening to the Sports Fix.
This is how we do it.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix, live on the Sports Fix Radio Network as the show rolls on. Thanks to my man Jeff Gorman from Browns101.com. Let me tell you something. if you're in part of my portion of the crowd that's got that ADD thing going on, hey, this is the show for you, because we're moving in supersonic speed today, man. Thanks to Jeff. Good, quick recap of the Browns. We'll pick up on some of that. We'll talk tribe. I'm ready to throw the term Team of Destiny out here at my next guest. He's going to laugh at me, but I don't care. We'll talk about that. We'll talk all of it with my man, the sports writer extraordinaire, Jonathan Knight, which means you can hit us up, not on the phones, but on Facebook and Twitter and email. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. Email us, TheSportsFix@AOL.com. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's talk to my man, not Jeff Gorman. Jeff Gorman just left us. My man, Jonathan Knight, the sports writer extraordinaire. JK, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm good, Jerry. Wondering how many main men you got there. Jeez.
Oh, hey, listen. If you're on the show, you're one of my main men. That's all there is to
fair
it.
Enough.
And if you're not on the show, you're one of the other guys. So you're one of the main men. No, but my man, JK, lots of things to get into here, man. I'm used to you starting off Friday with me. Now we're jumping into
throwing a little curveball for a three-day weekend. Keep you on your toes.
I like it better this way. I'm with it because we're warmed up and we're rolling, man. And, I'll get to the old Destiny thing here in a second. But
I shudder to think what you're talking about. But please proceed.
I know you would. Of course you'll shudder to think. This is going to be an incredible
conversation. I'm already shuddering.
But let's Browns last night real quick before we jump on past that. We were just talking about it before the break. Wins, loss, who cares about that? None of that matters. But give me anything that you did take out of that, and what's your outlook here heading in? We'll talk Pittsburgh specific next year. Obviously, nobody's building a Super Bowl float here, but you know, I do believe that at least last night. Let me start with this. I thought that you could see the difference once they picked somebody as their quarterback and everybody had spent a week and a half practicing together every single day. I know they had backups in there, so I don't care about, you know, going 80 yards on the drive, but you could see continuity for once between the players.
Well, I hope you're right. I don't know that's the case. I think that we've seen this before, I think, quite honestly. We have seen cases where the Browns have gone out and just look abysmal and just have spit the bit throughout a preseason, and then they kind of don't look quite as bad in the last game, and we kind of, here's the problem, we fixed it, problem solved, we're ready to go. And then the season starts and we're right back where we started from, because you're seeing things in that last preseason game. You're seeing, like you said, they're playing second stringers. No, the primary purpose, and for all teams, not just the teams that the Browns are playing, but the primary purpose of the last preseason game is not to get hurt. It really isn't. There's a handful of guys who are still fighting for a job, and I get that. But for the most part, especially for the first string, it's just get out there, break a sweat, don't kill yourself, don't get hurt. And so whatever results you see in that last game, whether they be good or bad, are oftentimes misleading. So we kind of got to keep that in mind. I'd like to think that it has something to do with, they picked the quarterback, and that sad little chapter is behind us for the moment. But I don't know that is the case. But be that as it may, it was better to see them score more points than an opposing team for a change. That was nice. That's always nice on any level with whatever the stakes are. That's always good to see. So certainly a step ahead of where they were last week. But again, you look at that third preseason game is usually the indicator of what you're going to see when the sparks start to fly. So that's still ringing very loudly in my ears, much louder than whatever we saw last night.
Well, mine too, especially on the defensive side of the ball. My thing is that unfortunately, I think it's hard to judge offensively until you get into Pittsburgh here and we get into the real season. How do you look at that third preseason game? Because was the dysfunction a function of the whole thing, or was it a function of being split for too long before you started getting the team on the get ready for the regular season track? Because even taking Manziel and Hoyer out of the way with a rookie head coach, that's always a line that gets walked with getting your starters ready, but getting opportunities for the other guys, checking out the rookies, mixing them in with the starters. Even when you don't have a high-level guy with a name like Manziel as part of your distractions, so that's always one of the balancing acts of preseason for a rookie coach. So, you know, part of me wonders if that just wasn't it, if it was given too much time, not just for Manziel, but for everybody, too much time before we circled the wagons and said, okay, that was fun. Now we got some tape on you. We got some tape on you. But now we start getting ready for the regular season. I just think they waited a week or two too long to start getting into that mindset. And that doesn't change the fact that I think this is a 6-10 team with everything that I've seen. And that's if everything goes relatively well this season. So I'm not sitting here giving you, you know, blowing smoke. That's my thoughts anyway, but that's why I can't really tell what you saw with the third with that third game there.
Yeah, and to your point, I think that we're perpetually in the mode of a first-year coach settling into things.
True.
In the preseason. This is just something we deal with basically every single year. So we don't know what a cohesive preseason looks like. I mean, you really have to go back to at least the Belichick years, if not back to the 80s, before you saw a team that went into the... Marty, really. That you see, I saw a team that had a system in place that just had everything running as a machine going into the preseason, and you're just swapping parts out. It's just a mess. This is just perpetually, at this time of year, is a mess for the Browns. So it's difficult to tell the difference between, is this a mess because everybody's new and it's a new system and people are adjusting, or is it a mess because this forthcoming season is going to be a mess? Time shall tell.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I'm intrigued for the opening day. I haven't made any, like, solid predictions because I'm like, man, I got to see a game where it matters. And even then, you don't judge a season on the first game, but you can get a pretty good glimpse at least the way the first part of it's going to go. And
yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? I got to see that, because you really do. Then it's everything's out and exposed, and you go, okay, this is just going to be really bad, or okay, it's going to be up and down like we thought. And, you know, but again, looking at what I saw, I'm, believe it or not, I'm more worried about the defense than I am about the offense. I know that sounds crazy.
Sure.
I'm worried about the offense because they don't have a number one wide receiver. I'm worried about the defense because they can't stop the number three quarterback on the other team.
Yeah, and that's something that I think became very apparent last week, and that's something that we did not count on. We expected, well, the offense is going to be a mess, but the defense will hang in there, and it'll be similar to last year, or at least in the beginning part of the season, that the defense will be able to keep them in games. But after what we saw certainly 2 weeks ago, or last week, and to some extent a little bit last night, I don't know that we can feel that way anymore. I mean, who's going to carry the team? If the defense isn't, we're looking at what, the punting game? I mean, what is it that's going to be the strong suit of this team while, as you said, everyone kind of gets their sea legs and tries to figure this out? I don't know that there's going to be anything you can lean on. So that more so than whatever problems the offense was having, especially against St. Louis, that the defense just could not get off the field. That was very disturbing. And I'm afraid that it's showing us that we were maybe overestimating how good the defense was going to be, that we were a little too optimistic. And that, yeah, there's really not going to be much to hang your hat on. This is going to be kind of a blind shoot here these first few weeks to see what the personality, what the identity of this team is going to be.
Well, I'll tell you what, too, you know, last night, and again, last night is not the best way to judge. I did like that they, for the first time all preseason, made an effort and got some pressure on the quarterback. And not consistently, but more consistently than they have. They were in there. Barkevious Mingo flashed a little bit last night, where I jumped out of my chair on one and said, that's the guy that you draft number six in the draft, man. What,
yeah.
Dude, eat another quarterback when we start the season. Like, do that for real, and we've got something there. So they did show me some of that, but it's how much do you look at the defensive backs? I mean, because this is true. When you're missing number one and number two and number four of your top four, you're not playing one, two, and four. How much can you judge the back end of the defense? Because there is, even if you don't think Joe Hayden is locked down, there's a difference between Joe Hayden and Justin Gilbert, and a big difference between Justin Gilbert and Leon McFadden, who hopefully never wears a Cleveland Browns jersey again. I'm sorry. I have no use for Leon McFadden on my football team whatsoever. But unless we need somebody to commit pass interference, then he's your guy. I mean, that's your designated pass interferer.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it really is, and not just for the defense and not just for the secondary, but I think that the recurring problem the Browns have had, not just this year, not just in recent years, but certainly since they've been back, has been their lack of depth. So, yeah, we say, oh, well, yeah, the Browns are terrible. The Browns had a bad game last week because so-and-so was out and they had to play their backups, and that's exactly it. They have never, ever been able to build depth. And that's part of the problem with firing and rehiring coaches every other year, is that you don't get a chance to ever build any kind of depth. If you're lucky, you get a passable first team that you're able to put on the field. So if everybody's healthy and all the stars align, you get 22 guys. It's like, okay, this is acceptable. But the minute one of those guys goes down, you're screwed. This is what has haunted the Browns, because inevitably this is going to happen. You're not going to go through a season with all of your key guys staying healthy. I mean, let's just face it, that's just not going to happen. At some point, somebody's going to go down and somebody's going to have to step in, and that's what defines what kind of team you are. That defines what kind of season you're going to have, whether it's your back, whether it's your quarterback. Obviously, that's the big thing. You're always worried about your quarterback going down. But in this case, like you said, it's just in something that's often overlooked, like the defensive secondary. You have a couple guys go down. Who's going to step in? If you don't have the talent to step in for that first team, you're in trouble. You know, it doesn't matter how good your first team is. It's more about how good your second team is. That's the difference between playoff teams and teams that don't perpetually make the playoffs. So I'm afraid that that's what we're seeing, because we're going to see, once again, once the bullet starts to fly, guys are going to start to go down, and there's not going to be adequate talent to step in for them.
I just mentioned the other day on the show that on top of watching this team grow over the next few years, there's a difference between talking about a team that could win 8 or maybe even 9 or 10 games. A lot of teams can do that every year and get a playoff spot. That's not a Super Bowl contender. That's not a championship contender. That's just the ins and outs of a football season. But to get to that Super Bowl level, I said, I know he may have made a mistake with not getting a wide receiver. I'm not saying he's perfect, but Ray Farmer drafted pretty well this year. It's going to take 2 or 3 more deep drafts like that to build, not the stars, not to go find your next Johnny Football or your big flashy quarterback. Yes, that's important too, but it's to build the second level of the Browns that they don't have right now, because I do believe that he drafts well. He may not be the best, but he drafts better than our drafting for the last 20 years. So I think that if you give him
We'll see. Well, I think it's too early to make that claim,
but we shall see. I mean, as far as drafting smart, tough football players, we've had drafts lately where guys don't play. Guys don't make the team right off the bat. Like, man, we drafted that guy, man? Like, I didn't even... So, I'm saying he seems to... the results are early, but, the guys he grabbed in the middle rounds, he's looked like he grabbed some starters out there. I know West is shaky as a rookie, but Betonio, Kirksey. Kirksey may win Defensive Rookie of the Year this season, man, if he continues to improve. He in college was a beast. I don't know how much you knew about Christian Kirksey, but, man, that was one of the draft picks that excited me the most.
Well, we'll just have to – I don't disagree with you necessarily, but I think that and it's a good point, that there have been guys that their own regime has drafted. A regime drafts guys and then can't even put them on their own team. That's a very bad sign if things aren't going well.
Yes,
but we have to keep in mind, too, that there may be – well, this guy is going to start – they may be blowing smoke up our skirts a little bit. That, we drafted this guy. We know what we're doing. We see things that you don't see yet. And we may be hearing things and seeing things that aren't quite real. So, definitely we got to wait till things get rolling for real. It's too soon to really judge Farmer's drafting prowess based on a couple of preseason games. But once the bullets start to fly, I think we will get a better idea. Certainly over the course of this season, I think we'll get an idea if at least he's been able to do, as you said, build some of that depth, get some of those building blocks that the Browns have been miserable at accumulating the last couple of years.
And hopefully we'll get a look, too, in a sense. Early on, it feels like maybe he may have got at least a couple of undrafted guys that don't just make the roster that may be a part of this team. I have been enticed by Isaiah Crowell since the day the Browns got him. I said they got him undrafted. That guy could be a beast. And we saw just a little piece last night that said, that's why you hold on to that guy and see if you can develop him, And definitely, you know, and Taylor Gabriel, there's another one that came out of nowhere. Now, you know, last week people are like, man, thank God we got that guy on our team. Otherwise, we'd have had no offense going at all, you know? So,
yeah.
But we'll see. You're right. It takes time. All right. We'll talk about the Browns next week. I'm going to give you this before I go. The Indians, I have labeled them officially earlier this week a team of destiny, which means it's in the books. It's in the books. They are the team of destiny. They are going to win. It's in the stars. It doesn't matter what happens. Say what you want, man, but since the point a few weeks ago where we said, hit the road, here you go, get off the pot or keep going, you got to win two out of every three from here on out, they've done just that. And they're here they sit, man, in position to own this thing, man. But all joking about the destiny aside, man, where are you at with the Indians right now? Because they have they've won series, they've won six in a row, man. They have gotten themselves right here with your own destiny playing Kansas City and Detroit.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, there is a very admirable sort of lunch bucket mentality and performance that we've seen from this team in August. Like you said, five or six great series now that they have taken two out of three. They're not doing it real sexy. They haven't ripped off an eight-game winning streak, which is kind of what you'd expect with a streaky team like this, as they've been all year. You'd expect them to win eight in a row and then lose six and do it that way. But no, they've been doing it with a lunch bucket. They win two out of three. They win two out of three. They win one, they lose one. They win two, they lose one. You know, they don't string a whole bunch of victories together, but they don't go on a losing streak. And that's what they needed to do. Honestly, I wish they would have started this earlier. If they'd have leveled off this way in June, I think we'd be having a different conversation right now, but better late than never. And they are still in the hunt either for the division or the wild card. Both are still there for the taking. They're essentially right where they were at Labor Day weekend a year ago, believe it or not. They're more or less in the exact same position. And here we sit. So can they win 20 of 25, go and have some kind of September like they did? Because that's what it's going to take. I mean, not only are they in a position to do that again, but that's what it's going to take again. They're going to have some kind of September like they did last year in order to make the playoffs, either as the division champ or as the wild card team. Do you see that happening? I don't know. I mean, I certainly didn't see it happening last year, and it did. But the way I like the way they have set up and come into Labor Day weekend now by winning several of these series. Winning two out of three in Chicago, I think, was a big mental step for them because, as we talked about last week, Chicago's had their number this year. As much as the Indians had their number a year ago, the White Sox have just given them a hard time this year. So to go into Chicago, win two out of three, and the one they lost was the one Kluber pitched.
I know.
If you'd have told me that they were going to lose the game that Kluber pitched, I'd have thought, oh my God, we're in trouble. But no, they won the other two, and they're winning games without scoring a lot of runs. That's something that while it's a little troubling that they're not able to score more than two or three runs a game, it's good that they're winning some of these games. They win 3-2. They win 4-3. They're not getting much offensive production, but they're making the most out of what they get. So the stage is set. You're right. I don't know that they're a team of destiny. I think we need to see a little bit. I will give you this. They seem to have this uncanny knack for walk-off and last at-bat victories, maybe even more so than last year. They seem to have a tendency to do that. So that element is there. Now, whether that comes to fruition and we see a kind of a run like we did last September, that remains to be seen. But, yeah, the stage is set, and the stage is set not only for them in terms of how they've been playing, but, yeah, now here comes Kansas City, here comes Detroit. If they're going to do it, this is it. They need to stand up and do it now. They'll have if they don't turn out to win this thing or don't turn out to make the playoffs, they'll have nobody to blame but themselves. I mean, they can't blame the schedule. They can't say, well, we didn't have a chance to play Detroit or Kansas City down the stretch. No, they do. This is there. I mean, there's key games there that if they win the majority of these key games, they will be right there. They will have a shot at this thing. And so even though they're behind, they really are in a way to control their own destiny. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
For sure. You mentioned the walk-offs. They had 11 last year. They're at 10 and counting here with the last month of the season to go. I mean, really, and you brought it up, I think, a week or two ago, that with the exception of having Kansas City and Detroit in the mix, it's all the same suspects from the end of last season. You're playing the same teams in the same month, all of that. But, you know, they finally got past that three games over 500 where that was the high water mark. They've gotten past it, knocked back. They're kind of now they're balancing at the four games over deal and trying to push themselves past that. We said it earlier, the math. They're at 68-64, 30 games exactly to play. 20-10, down the stretch to win two out of three all the way through, puts you at 88 wins, means Seattle and Detroit simply have to play no better that or can't play worse than, I believe, 16 and 14 down their final 30. And
yeah, that's a lot to ask. Yeah.
Well, Detroit, not the way they've played. I mean, Detroit definitely leveled off to a 500 level. Matter of fact, I'm shocked. Not just Detroit. Did you notice that David Price, since he got traded, his ERA is like 4.5 for Detroit. He is not. He's not gotten himself untracked yet for Detroit at all. And they've got the Sanchez injury. There's some real Verlander. There's some real question marks there with Detroit.
Yeah, can you imagine the fallout if the Tigers don't make the playoffs?
Oh,
can
man,
you just
after
imagine
that trade?
The disaster?
Ooh, man, you're going to lose. Scherzer coming up. You make that trade for Price. People are going, write the World Series tickets now for Detroit, you know? And
yeah, and that's what I thought. I thought they were just, the division title was locked up, and no, not at all.
Almost
the opposite. I mean, you, as you said, you'd almost argue they're worse. They've been a worse team since acquiring. Not that it's Price's fault, but yeah, they certainly haven't played better since acquiring him.
They made that trade, and then Kansas City made their run. Kansas City's like, hey, you know what? We're just going to stop losing games here. Let's see what you can do about it, you know? Amazingly to see. Earlier in the show, I said, doesn't it feel weird to say this many games behind Kansas City, not Detroit? Like, we're not even chasing down
and
the
And that's great. And, you know, quickly, just the point that I think this is great. If I'm going to lose, I'd rather lose the division to Kansas City.
There you go.
I think it's awesome to see the Royals back in this. Looking at the standings in the American League here these last few weeks, I feel like it's like 1989. I mean, you've got Baltimore, Kansas City, Oakland for a while, and then the Angels in first. Like, geez, this is not what we've come to know in the last quarter century in the American League race. Like, these are fresh faces that haven't really been contenders consistently since the 80s. This is great. This is a lot of fun to see some of these fresh faces in this race, and certainly Kansas City. I think there's sort of a brotherhood. Kansas City and Cleveland have a lot in common. I think they're great, not only great sports towns, but they're long-suffering. So it's great to see the Royals kind of emerge after more than 20 years of really struggling and putting it together. So if the Indians can't do it, I'm all in for the Royals. Like, I don't mind losing to the Royals. Let's just not lose. But we can all agree neither of us want to lose to Detroit. Let's just have one of us beat Detroit, and we'll both be happy.
The flip side of that, you know, just looking at the standings, how often do you see the two big money teams, but how often do you see Boston 18.5 games back?
Yeah.
And Texas with
and
that
Texas,
huge
yeah.
roster, they're nearly 30 games out of first place.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean honestly, I do not believe that is happening, either of those situations.
52.
Really amazing. Really amazing.
52-81 in Texas, man, after they make that trade and
everything. Yeah, they could lose 100 games.
Man. I mean, that's just amazing when you think about it, you know. Other things you expect, but when you see that, and then same with Boston, it's just, you're just not used to seeing them 20 games out of first place either. Just, they flipped it around, man. You're right. It's like the late 80s.
It's almost
here.
Upside down in some ways, yeah.
You know, where's Cal Sr.? Is he still coaching managing the Orioles here? yeah. What's going on, man?
Brooks Robinson starting at third for the Orioles, and George Brett for the Royals. Yeah.
Carl Yastrzemski's not happy somewhere, I can tell
you
that.
Yeah, exactly.
JK, my man, I'm telling you, relax on the Tribe, because you've got it. It's in the stars. It's celestial. They are the team Odessa.
Well, you know what? You said something similar last year, and I mocked you at the time and regretted it later, so I will withhold judgment for now, and we shall see what happens post-Labor Day.
We shall see. Next Friday, hey, we'll have a good idea, because we'll have gone through Kansas City and Detroit once, and I think we'll know a lot more about this team, and you and I can look into Browns have started a few seasons with the Steelers before, and hopefully this one's more like the 51-0 variety. But anyways, we'll look ahead to that. We'll maybe talk about some of the ones from the past years, and we'll look at the first game of the new season for the Browns as well.
Yes, we will. Yeah, it's always fun, regardless of your expectations for the season. Starting football is always fun. It's sort of a fresh start. It's the seasons are changing. You're going into fall. It's always nice. It's nice to see that tradition pick up. And think, as you said, think about all the things that have come before, all the other opening days. So regardless of how you feel about this year's team, this is fun. It's a fun time.
And I like that the Steelers game is first because the season hasn't had a chance to go to hell. It hasn't stunk yet.
I was looking at it from the point of view it's actually good because we're killing two birds with one stone because the Browns, one, never win on opening day, and two, never win in Pittsburgh. So rather than getting two automatic losses, we just combine them into one. So well played, NFL schedule makers.
Come on. But you know what I'm saying. At least for the fans that want to get into Browns versus Steelers, there's no reason not to for the first game of the season. There is sometimes in week 14 a difficult time getting up for that one. But, you know, this one here should have some energy and some excitement.
True enough.
Talk about it.
True enough.
My man, enjoy your weekend, Kansas City, and then Detroit and the holiday and all of that. We will catch up on the Browns and the Indians and the Buckeyes next Friday.
Yes, we will. Looking forward to it.
All right, JK, thank you as always. That's my man, the sports writer extraordinaire, Jonathan Knight. We're going to take a break, last break of the day, but not the end of the show. We've got plenty more to come. Speaking of the Buckeyes, the Navy, they're playing this weekend. We'll look ahead to that. Indians in Kansas City will set the stage for the latest leg of the Tour of Destiny for the Cleveland Indians. And I'll tell you one more time about the ins and outs for this weekend with the play-by-play and some fantasy football and all of that. Don't go anywhere. Final segment of the Sports Fix coming up. You know what? What the hell? I'm going to open up the phone lines. 216-539-7535. 216-539-7535. Get in if you can. We'll be right back here on the Sports Fix.
And now, a very special announcement from the Sports Fix.
Black bears weigh between 200 and 500 pounds. Brown bears weigh between 300 and over 1,000 pounds. Black bears run away from you. Brown bears run at you. When attacked by a bear, simply lie still on the ground and cover your face and head with your hands. When the bear is finished batting you around and mauling you, contact the U.S. Forest Service.
And that was a message from the Sports Fix.
Guys, want to take just a second as we head into this break and remind you about the official business printing source of the Sports Fix, our friends at Signs and Ship. Signs and Ship, I'm telling you, Chris and Pam, they've taken care of me since day one, and they can do the same for you. Whether you're a small business that's already been established and you're looking to grow to that next level and expand your business, or perhaps you've got an idea that you just know is going to be a great business and you need to figure out how to brand it and how to promote it and put it out there, Signs and Ship is the place for you. If you need a logo, they can create one for you. They have a fantastic graphic designer. Business cards, signs, banners, yard signs, mobile advertising, anything you can think of that you need to promote your business, they've got it at Signs and Ship. The best thing about them too is each of their locations, whether it's the home base here in Elyria, Ohio that I work with, or their spots in Virginia, Florida, and Pennsylvania, it's all local sourced. Very important to me because we all understand that small business is the lifeblood of the community. So check them out, signsandship.com, or call Chris and Pam today, 440-323-6060, the home office in Elyria, Ohio. Signs and Ship, quality printing at affordable prices.
It's the Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
In baseball, miracles can happen when a team works together.
Two out, bottom of the ninth,
down to their last strike.
The same is true in the fight against cancer. That's why MLB has teamed up with Stand Up to Cancer. Because we believe that when we all stand up together,
41,000 on their feet,
we can make cancer history.
Now everybody's standing.
What a buzz in this building.
This is beyond a dream. Stand up with MLB at standuptocancer.org.
Football season is party season at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Everyone wins at Harry Buffalo. Every Saturday is Coors Light College Football Saturday with $6 pitchers, four bottles for $10, and the Buckeyes in full HD. Football season is most definitely party season, and your headquarters is Harry Buffalo North Olmsted all winter long. Harry Buffalo, join the herd.
Hi, this is Dean Chenoweth, head coach of Cleveland's Lake Erie Monsters, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Everyone's watching. Yeah, it's that time a little bit early here. Final segment of the week here on the Sports Fix. Man, Actually, I can't even say my day has just begun because it began hours and hours ago, and we've crammed a lot in already, and there's still a lot more to go. I think I will be done, roughly about 10 and a half hours from now or so. It's all good. It's all good. I'm excited today, man. Working for the weekend to work on the weekend. I love it. I can't wait. I make my debut tonight doing some play-by-play. It's one of the things that I've never gotten an opportunity to do. Wasn't looking for it. Came across my way, and I said, you know what? I think I'm going to give this a whirl, man. Let's see what we can do. So if you guys are interested, by the way, in listening to me, perhaps you want to critique me or tell me that you could do better, it's all good. Hit me up and over the weekend and take a listen tonight, and then let me know what you thought. We will be live. 7 p.m. is kickoff for defending Division 6 state champions, the Kirtland Hornets. Coach Tiger Laverty will have his Hornets out there taking on the East Lake North Rangers, led by new head coach, former Lake Catholic head coach Mike Bell, after 12 years there at Lake Catholic and some playoff appearances and some success. He's now going to come take over an East Lake North team that went 1-9 its last two seasons, and they couldn't have a tougher way to start things off tonight. The action kicks off at 7 p.m. on 1330 a.m. WINT here in Northeast Ohio. If you're not there, which a lot of you guys that listen to the Sports Fix are all over the country, you can stream it live on WINTradio.com, or you can go to TuneIn. A lot of you listen to the Sports Fix on TuneIn. Just like you found us there, search for 1330 WINT, and you'll find their station feed on TuneIn Radio, and you can listen to us right there on your device, just like you do the Fix. And let me know what you think. Even if high school football is not your thing, listen for a few minutes and hit me up and just go, hey, man, you stunk, or hey, man, you are the next Howard Cosell, or anywhere in between. I'll take any level of compliment or complaint because I'm curious how I do. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. I'm excited about it. So not only that, I got a lot of things. I got some other things going on this weekend I can't tell people about, but needless to say, if you're a fan of my wrestling career, I'm surprised secretly showing up somewhere, and you'll be surprised to see me, but I can't tell you where I'll be, so I'll talk about that next week. We got the holiday weekend here coming up, and a lot goes into that. Not only a busy weekend for me, but this weekend, Indians, Kansas City, Buckeyes, and Navy. You know, Ohio State looking to kick off what they thought was going to be a much different type of season, with Braxton Miller getting ready to set some records, and the Buckeyes hoping to make some ground here and get themselves into that first playoff, the first season, all new stuff. Well, everything changed 2 weeks ago when Braxton Miller went down on a Monday afternoon throwing an out pattern, and now everything's changed. And now you've got the redshirt freshman, JT Barrett, never taken a collegiate snap, but I got to remind you guys, Dan Wismar, he brought it up the other day, and it's a really, I think it's a telling statistic when you look at the experience level. When Kenny Guyton made his first appearance for the Buckeyes, replacing Miller when he was injured, he had a whole two practice throws with the D. And I'm not talking about snaps. I'm talking about actual passing plays and throws. Two. That was his level of experience, because it was all about getting the starting quarterback ready at that time. Meanwhile, in the offseason this year, and this is before Miller got hurt, not sure whether he was going to be able to come back or not, Barrett's had over 300. So he's definitely, he's more physically prepared and mentally prepared than Kenny Guyton was. Does that mean he'll do as well as Guyton? I have no idea. If he does, then the Buckeyes will be in better shape than a lot of people think they do. And I think Barrett's going to do better than a lot of people think. But you're going to, I think you lose a game, maybe two, along the way because of the inexperience. You've got a lot of youth in a lot of other places there. They still got questions on the backside of the defense as well, just because you got a lot of guys filling holes there. Gonna be interesting. This weekend's gonna be kind of a work in progress to see what the Buckeyes have going on. I see Cardell Jones over there, Vashon in the chat room, asking about him. I don't know why things changed, because Cardell Jones was was ahead of Barrett earlier in the offseason, and they made that change looking to change the backup quarterback. Turned out that it ended up affecting the starting quarterback role, but I'm not sure what the deal is there, too, although I do believe you're going to see both quarterbacks Saturday. I think it's a good chance to get both quarterbacks in there. You got to win the game, though. Keep in mind, Navy, just we talked about it a few years back, Navy nearly beat Ohio State back in 2009. So the Buckeyes have to make sure they win this game. But I do think, you know, just listening to Urban Meyer say in the even before Braxton, how there was very little separation between Barrett and Cardale Jones. You've got to think that the book is not closed on Barrett being the quarterback for sure. But man, a lot about him I like, and you got to remember that's Urban's guy, man, and he's going to get a chance to see. A lot of Urban's guys are going to go. We talked with Dan about that. He's got 12 of the starters here are guys that he's brought in. Looking at the skill positions, that's where I'm excited to see what these Buckeyes can do. I've had a thing for Dontre Wilson since before he started his college career. I thought, man, this guy has got, man, he's got all the potential in the world. And he had the speed, lightning playmaker, and he added 20 pounds. He bulked up his frame here in the offseason because he was too light. He was like a buck 71 or something like that at the end, and was soaking wet at the end of last season. And so they add a little bit of beef to him too. But you've got him and Jalen Marshall, and you've got Corey Smith and Michael Thomas. And of course, you got Evan Spencer and Devin Smith. So, you know, those guys are good wide receivers, but playmakers like Wilson, I want to see him get mixed into this offense. I mean, I think we've only just touched the surface. We saw a little bit last year, but he's one of those guys that when you watch him on Saturday, it's like watching a video game guy out there. So we'll see. But that's one of the biggest guys that I'm looking forward to see. And of course, I want to see how Barrett leads this team. I think Barrett's got a great tight end, Jeff Herman, to lean on there. One of the better receivers catching the ball coming back for Ohio State anyway there. And so I think that he'll have kind of a safety blanket there. He'll have some playmakers here. Don't forget, Barrett can make plays too. Very, very experienced with his legs. And that was part of how he made his hay too. So we'll see his first chance to look. I think a lot of guys, I know you can't judge everything off of one game, but just like I said about the Browns and Pittsburgh, once we all see them play, then you can start like getting an idea of what you think this team can and can't do. But you got to see them out there for the first time for real up against somebody else. On defense, defensive line, clearly the strength of this team, and you're going to get to see Larry Johnson's hand fingerprints all over this. There's going to be a ton of work. Noah Spence obviously doesn't play. He's got the 2-game suspension to serve, but once he comes back and gets added, Joey Bosa, you've got Washington and Bennett out there, and some of the guys even in the rotation underneath. They've got a very deep up front. Linebackers too. I like the linebackers that this team's got going. We talked about how the defensive backfield, some of the inexperience there, that may be some things left to be seen. I skipped past the linebackers. I'm just going to throw this name out there. I've been throwing his name out there since we were talking Buckeyes earlier in the spring. Raekwon McMillan. I'd really love to get a chance to see him get out there on the field and start to show what he can do as well at the linebacker position. So, you know, Buckeyes obviously have to worry about the triple option and the traditional Navy. We talked about last year how run heavy they were, second in the nation in rushing yards, but they averaged 85 passing yards per game. So their strengths and weaknesses kind of play right into the Buckeyes, the opposite strengths and weaknesses. So that may come to fruition to work out for the Buckeyes. Interesting to see if they can stop the run, because they're going to get run tested early. That up front that we talked about, they're going to get a good test there. And running the ball, too. That's the other thing I've got in my notes here. I've got notes all over. I'm like moving papers going, hey, where's the other Buckeye notes? The running game, too. Who's going to step in and fill the hole? 1,600 yards nearly, 18 touchdowns from Carlos Hyde needs to be replaced. And he did that, by the way, after sitting out the first 3 games. So now Buckeyes have the opportunity to see some of his replacements. Ezekiel Elliott was somebody from the beginning of the offseason that somebody thought would step right in there, but injuries have let some other guys creep in. Beyonce Dunn, Warren Ball, Rod Smith. Don't forget about Rod Smith. He's a fifth-year senior with some experience, and they've got the freshman Samuel out there as well, too. So who's going to be able to... I think, to be honest with you, I think all of the running backs are going to get a decent bit of work. I'm not saying they're going to split it evenly, but I think you're going to get to see a bit of all of them. So that's going to go in part of this too, is they, you know, teams aren't finished products. Browns, Buckeyes, doesn't matter what it is. The team on East Lake North tonight, high school, they're not finished in game one. So you start to get an idea for what you do good and for what you need to work on. And good coaches build your around your strengths while in practice working on your deficiencies. So let's see what happens. The Buckeyes and Navy, they're doing battle at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. Noon kickoff on Saturday. The fifth-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes take on the Navy midshipmen there. We'll talk about all of that when we come back on the other side. Also this weekend, for those of you with the baseball affiliation, however you want to look with the Indians, it could be an affliction because you can't walk away, but I'm calming your nerves. Destiny, baby. Destiny. This weekend, they get a chance to prove me right when they start things with Kansas City. It begins tonight, 8:10 p.m. is the first pitch as Danny Salazar takes the mound for the Indians. He helped them down the stretch last year. He's going to have to do it. He's going to have to play a part of it this year, along with Carrasco, along with Bauer, along with Kluber. Could use a little bit of help from TJ House there, too. Vargas and Salazar tonight in Kansas City, 8:10 it starts tomorrow. A good one with Bauer and big game James Shields. That's a 7:10 p.m. start. And then Sunday, a battle of the lefties. And this one, I believe, is an ESPN. No, it's an ESPN2 game against Kansas City Sunday. House and Duffy do battle in that one. And then, of course, Monday, since we won't be here, Detroit Rock City comes to Cleveland, comes to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame City. 4 p.m. Labor Day start. It's a national TV game on ESPN. Corey Kluber and David Price, both of those guys probably coming in a little bit of an attitude on the way the last few starts have gone for both of them. So you may see a couple of nasty edges on Kluber and Price, making that one even better to watch on Monday. So here it is, man. I jokingly say Team of Destiny, although I'm telling you, they're the team of destiny. I'm joking and I'm serious at the same time. But here it is. It's in your own hands. 7 games against the 2 teams you need to beat. So go do it. Just stop talking about it. Go do it, Indians. Go do it, young Indians. Bring it home. So that's your stage set for the weekend. We'll come back on Tuesday. And, man, we're getting serious. We're hitting September, baby, and we're going to hit the ground running. We'll recap the whole weekend's events, and we will start getting you set. We're going to start looking forward towards the beginning of a football season with Pittsburgh. We'll get looking at the Buckeyes here, catch up with Dan Wismar next week. We're going to have all the usual suspects setting the stage for the first week of the NFL. Looking back at the first week of college, looking at the Indians as destiny rolls on. Going to be fun when we come back here on Tuesday, guys. I can't wait. So enjoy your weekend, enjoy your holiday, and most importantly, come on back and talk to me about all of it on Monday. Let's do the Sports Fix thing, the September thing, right here on Tuesday. Don't forget, not here on Monday, back here live on Tuesday, same bat time, same bat channel, live at noon, right here on the Sports Fix. Before I go, I'm going to go to you and give you the last opportunity to have the last word for the week on the Sports Fix. Caller, you get to end the show. What's happening?
J-Rock Daddy.
LG Daddy, what's up, man?
Big week coming up here for Cleveland sports, man. Just like you're talking, Cleveland Indians, 5.5 games out. No better way to make up them games than be beating the team that you need to beat to make up a game at a time, man. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing what this team can do against the Kansas City Royals. And I got to tell you, Salazar knows he's got a lot on his plate tonight. And I hope he can live up to what he did last year and come back and help these Cleveland Indians with the desire to take over the American League Central. Then you got the Detroit, like you're talking, coming to Cleveland, baby. They struggled the last few times they were here, J-Rock. We can only ask for more of the same. Hopefully that'll happen, and this Cleveland Indians will start the month of September red hot. What do you think, baby?
Red hot. Well, you know what? I got Team of Destiny. That's what I think, baby. They're going to make it happen. I'm telling you.
What a year we're looking forward to now. You got the Cavaliers with Kevin Love. LeBron James is back. Kyrie Irving is going to live up to some kind of new reputation that these guys are going to mold him into a player that he's not been yet. For this Cleveland Cavaliers team, I tell you, man, it could be an exciting time in Cleveland sports. And let's not forget about Johnny Football, baby. Johnny Football coming in, going to guide this Cleveland Browns to the Super Bowl.
Oh, why you got jokes here to end the show, LG?
Who's joking, man? Didn't you see all these Johnny football fans? Didn't you know that 6 for 17, a 35.2% passing average is what it takes to get into the NFL Super Bowl these days, J-Rock Daddy? Guys like Peyton Manning are going to lay down, and they're going to let Johnny football run all over them.
But didn't you see him outrun that guy from Aldi's a couple of times last night, man? I'm telling you, man. No, listen. I do like. Let me tell you.
Well, he was probably weighed down with all them price stamping utensils they forced him to carry. He probably had a sore back. I'm telling you, man. I've never seen people get so out of hand about a guy that completed 6 out of 17 passes in my entire life, J-Rock Daddy. How about you?
I'm telling you. Let me jump in. I will be fair, first off, for people, because I don't...
Well, who's being unfair? Who's being unfair?
What I'm
is LG being unfair? I don't think so.
No. Let me finish. Can I finish, please? No, what I'm saying is looking at Manziel, and I'm going to say he has gotten better from where he started in the preseason. Like, you can't take that away, but you got to qualify that by looking at what level we're talking about. Like, you know, I can say he's gotten better at calling the plays at the line. He's gotten better at having command in the huddle. He is slowly getting those things. But I'm just going to say the guy that I watched last night, and this is not meant disrespectfully, because the name that I'm about to mention is somebody that I thought was decent and got shaded because of things that didn't have to do with football. Guess what? He reminded me last night of Tim Tebow. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. Tim Tebow could move mountains with his legs. He led people with his charisma. He couldn't throw very well. He could occasionally throw a good ball. Some of his passes were beautiful. Many of them were ugly and off target. But he ran very well. What I'm saying is that there is a lot of truth in the Tebow-Manziel comparisons. But I'm going to end that by saying I thought Tim Tebow should have had more of a career in the NFL. I'm not one of these guys that thinks...
Oh, undoubtedly. I agree 100% with you, J-Rock Daddy. The thing with Tim Tebow is you got an NFL that was kind of afraid that the Tebow mania was going to surpass the NFL mania. And when that happens, they didn't want anything or anyone to be bigger than the persona that the NFL presented.
Tebow was becoming
a phenomenon, you know. I mean, Tebow mania, well, you got to admit, man, you haven't seen anything like that since the days of Joe Willie Namath. And let's all face it, when them guys were huge popular hits, the NFL wasn't what it is today, man. So when you got a guy that's going to come in with all that charisma and charm and pass up on the NFL, they don't like it.
Oh, no, I understand you there. My thing is just when I looked at him last night and his stat line, it was very, very, very Tebow-esque. And so that was the first time that I said, man, people made that comparison before, but I really saw it last night because I saw some good. You saw some good where you go, man, the guy's got something. But then you saw some ugly where you go, that's a lot like Tebow. He would go make a decent play, and then the next one, he'd throw the ball, you know, to the wrong guy over his head, and you'd go, man, was that the same guy from the play before? And Johnny will tell you that last night, you know. So for everybody that jumps in and goes, well, but he made plays with his legs, that's great. But when you're one-dimensional and then people cut that one dimension from you, you're zero-dimensional. So what he's got to do is what Tim Tebow couldn't do or didn't do, which is get better as a quarterback. If he gets better as a quarterback and then he can tie that in with what he does with his legs, then he has the chance to live up to what his fans think he can be. I won't take that away from him, but he has to get there. Otherwise, he's one-dimensional. He's going to win a few games with his legs. He's going to lose more with his arm. So that's all. But that's
Not forget, J-Rod Daddy. This guy's running against third stringers that are going to be back at all these packing groceries next week.
And I agree.
And 90% of the stuff that he was doing, that's not going to work against the NFL's elite. And you know it as well as I know it. So
it's funny because somebody asked me, I will tell you this.
One thing you got to admit with Tebow, Tebow had a decent sized frame to take the hits in the NFL.
Bigger. You're right. He had a bigger body. He had a bigger body, and he could take more punishment. You're right.
So you're talking to a guy like Johnny Manziel. And let's just say, for some reason, he gets in there. Aren't you a little bit concerned with the size of this guy and the hits he'll be taking?
We've talked about that before,
LG. When the starters
are
on the field, I don't think he's going to last through an NFL season if he can't throw the football, J-Rock.
I understand that. Both of the quarterbacks are undersized, whether you're talking Hoyer or Manziel. The difference is Manziel puts himself out there more, where you got to worry about that. But you know what? Let's not talk about all that. It's a holiday weekend. I'm not even worried about Johnny Football running around, because for at least next week, he's going to be the backup to the starting quarterback. So next week, we'll talk about the Browns and the Steelers. Let's not go Manziel to end the show, man. I mean, let's end it good. Indians are on the roll here, heading towards their destiny. You talked about the Cavs. The Browns preseason is over. That's good enough for me. Get the fake game over. Well, they're not fake to the people that get hurt in them, but you know what I mean. Get the overpriced, unstatistically counting preseason games out of the way. Let's play some real football. I'm excited, man, but it's also a holiday weekend. Go enjoy it.
And this is your big debut night with the high school sports, isn't it, J-Rock?
That's right. As a matter of fact, as soon as you hang up the phone, I'm hanging up the show and heading out to the stadium. So I'm excited as can be, brother.
Okay, well, like I said, let's hope our Indians can come home with a victory tonight. And two more to follow that, or at least one more. Make up a couple games in the AL Central, and let's see what this team can do, man. Because like you were talking earlier, this is another September. It's almost the same script as they played last year. Hopefully they're going to do it, and we could see something happen.
There it is. Four games back in the wild card, 5.5 back in the division, 3 with Kansas City.
All right, J-Rock Daddy, best to you. Have a happy Labor Day. I'll talk to you next week.
You too. My man, LG from Cleveland Sports 360, and that is the final word of the week and the month of August. Thank you guys so much for being with us all week, all month. We'll see you Tuesday as we kick off September right here on the Sports Fix. We love you, Cleveland. We'll see you Tuesday.